Hello, I'm James Sandy, and this is the New Curiosities Box, a majestic swim through the thickening tide of arts and culture in Birmingham and beyond. In this show, we get depth and insight from the artist Sally Payan as she talks through some of the themes, issues, and inspiration behind her current exhibition, A Fence and the Shadow, at MAC Birmingham. If you'd like more links and information on any of the features in this programme or the previous shows, you can check out our blog at thenewcuriositiesbox.blogspot.co.uk. There's also a podcast archive for those long autumn nights. We start with an intriguing study of women's activism, protest and peace camps through the landscape of Greenham Common. Okay, so I'm really pleased to be here with Sally Payan and Mandy Fowler, who are, I guess, architects, let's use that word, behind women and protest, and in particular, The Fence and the Shadow, which is an exhibition which opened on the 22nd of September, so fairly recently, and runs until the 26th of November here at MAC Birmingham. Now, Sally, I've had a good look around the gallery, and I've had a look at some of the pieces, and I was intrigued by the different exhibitions that we get here at MAC. And to try and help folks get a handle on what your focus is with this, I would say it's probably about the art of protest, and specifically about Greenham Common as a landscape for protest.
It is. It's about the landscape today, walking over Greenham Common today, and thinking about the peace camp from the 1980s, anti-nuclear protest that went on there. I grew up near Greenham. I used to cycle around the base and serve women in a shop. But when it got really big, I went to art school because I was just obsessed to become a painter. So in a sense, doing this exhibition has been like going back to my roots, back to familiar landscape, and to really kind of look at the mystery of that protest, which was really kind of huge. It's a huge story, actually, what went on there.
And Greenham Common has become, I guess, sort of almost mythical in terms of what's there and what is there and what's been there. And for folks listening who have never ventured outside of the West Midlands, it's somewhere in rural Berkshire, isn't it? Greenham Common.
Yeah.
And it's been used for various things, military things.
Yeah, it's got a long history of aircraft happening there. There were a lot of American Air Force people living there in the 80s. There was kind of almost a village of schools, shops, everything actually on Greenham Common. Now it's a business park and the main area is back to being a common land. Greenham Common had the longest runway in Europe in the 80s. If you go there today, there's a central area that they've preserved, and the rest has been dug up and it's under the Newbury bypass. But there's lots of trace elements that relate to the time of when the women were there. If you walk around, there's lots of original fencing. You can tell it's original because it's kind of patched work. There's different fences kind of weaved together because Greenham women used to always cut through the fence, break them down, or cut through to try and break in to make some kind of protest.
Now, that's an interesting element, I think, of some of the pieces in the exhibition, that idea of patchwork or kind of craft. There's this craft activism phrase, isn't there?
Craftivism,
however you say your A's, you know, it's one or the other.
Yeah, maybe craftivism developed with Greenham Common women. I think that one of the reasons that the women were able to stay there for so long, and with it saying that the... It started in 81 and finally women left in the year 2000 when the land became common land again, was arts and craft. I think it changed their kind of coping mechanism. It's kind of very calming. So in a sense, my approach to this whole exhibition has been about pulling out elements, trace elements that you find on site, and also using archives and interviews. So we have an archive room in there as well, and I interviewed a woman called Lynette Edwell, and that's some of her archive there. And it's the first time this archive's ever been seen. In a sense, I've used the quality of knitting and sewing in the way I've made painting, and the quality of repetition has kind of really come out in the work. So,
and what's interesting about that as well, I think, is that there's a very natural element to those crafts and a very tactile nature to some of those things, against perhaps a backdrop that isn't particularly natural in the terms of,
know, how the base is being created and used. There's quite a contrast in those kind of themes, isn't there?
A total con. I mean, how can handicrafts be political? How can it have power? I mean, I found mulling over that over the last year. Yeah, amazing, really. But there is a long history of women knitting for war, and there's also knitting and sewing has been kind of a real survival thing for a lot of women. There's a lot of symbols in my work that have come out of looking at knitting and crochet. It's the general approach to the work in general.
And let's talk about the exhibition and bring you in, Mandy, because part of the role of a curator, it's a grand term, isn't it? I like that. It's a great term to have.
Yes.
Part of your role is, it's a really difficult one in terms of ensuring the kind of focus of the exhibition in some ways. And what I mean by that is, Sally, as an artist, is probably prolific in terms of producing things left, right and centre every hour of the day, I guess. And part of your role is sort of filtering that down ensuring that the emphasis is right.
Yeah, so I've worked with Sally through the development of the exhibition. So that's been over a sort of three-year period, really, as the body of work was building up. And I suppose, you know, I always have my eye on that end game in terms of how is this going to look as an exhibition. So I'm always kind of, the conversations that Sally and I have had throughout that time has always been thinking about that wider picture, and particularly audiences responding to it and how we're going to present it to audiences as well. So one of the things that was quite key is to, whilst, you know, we know a lot about Greenham Common, we're especially aware that, you know, people of maybe particularly a certain age might not understand any of the context of Greenham at all or understand that. So it was kind of how did we deal with that, whilst Sally is an artist's response to the subject, and Sally's pulled through the areas that she's been interested in terms of creating the work. But it's kind of how do we do that without presenting a history show as well? So within the archive space particularly, we looked at how to do that. And, you know, quite often exhibitions have resource rooms as well attached to them that gives you some further information about the artist and their thinking behind that. But what we really wanted to do as well was combine that with the context of Greenham. So it was really important, Sally accessing the archive that she talked about and using that as sort of inspiration and presenting some of that to the members of the public. So we were incredibly lucky, so that, as Sally mentioned, the archive isn't publicly available yet, but we were given special permission to actually have some of the archive material here at MAC. And that's been particularly selected on the basis of what Sally's responded to, again, as opposed to showing a kind of history. There is a timeline of the and the background information to give people that kind of context, but that those archives have come from the women directly themselves, and so it really is their personal items connected to Greenham. So that was quite important to us as well, and that sort of sits alongside the exhibition.
Hmm.
So Sally's work sort of, you know, stands up as a body of work, but that's some of the background information and that kind of context, so that people can view the work through that lens as well, and kind of understanding where Sally's come from in those stories of Greenham.
And that's a really interesting challenge, and I think it is about that sort of capturing that kind of narrative, that historical narrative, but ensuring that there's relevance. You know? And it's clear to me from the minute you walk into the exhibition, these are pertinent, relevant themes. You know, we're talking about nuclear disarmament,
exactly.
And we're talking about neoconservative military agenda,
those kind of women's things. Protest, women's activism. It is very much that kind of, you know, contemporary context to that as well. And, you know, while Sally's work is talking about, you know, a particular point in time, it's also timeless as well. And that was something that we really wanted to try and bring out as well. So, and again, giving people that sense of the landscape of Greenham now as well. It's kind of, how do we do that? We talked about that, and then Sally filming her walk around Greenham so that visitors to the exhibition have got that sort of sense of what Greenham is like now as well. And it was we dealt with it in that way of, it was actually Sally's journey across the landscape rather than just putting up a map of Greenham and you know, some photographs of the space to give people that kind of sense.
So there is, just to describe parts of the exhibition, and most of the works I think are sort of oil on canvas.
Yeah.
That's the kind of your medium, if you.
I love making oil paintings. Yeah, there's lots of, there's 9 large scale oil paintings and an area where there's loads of different small ones. So they're kind of very different touch and scale going across the whole thing.
Mm.
Some of my original decisions were that the works would be from the ground up because the Greenham women organise themselves without a hierarchy, you know. So although we know that Greenham, the women were doing an anti-nuclear protest, they were also very much about women's issues and had endless conversations about how they would be organised. So being an leaderless protest movement was really crucial. So in a sense, my work has kind of a more earthy, primitive feel to it, which is quite conscious. Half of the large scale works are about the women's relationship with the fence. For instance, after Embrace the Base, which was an action when 30,000 women encircled the 9-mile perimeter of the fence, linking arms.
That's an incredible number of people.
It's an incredible thing. But after that, they're invited to tie things to the fence that were important to them. So there'd be kind of photographs of their children, children's clothing, knitting, things they made, symbols, anything from the heart, really. Children, yeah, photographs. So those 3 paintings are very inspired by that when I've got kind of symbols tied to the fence. The other work is much more influenced by walking over Greenham today, looking for the trace elements of that time. So we've got the silos. The silos are still there. They're now considered to be an ancient monument. But in the time of Greenham Common, there would have, the protest, 96 nuclear weapons were living in there. So it's really scary.
There's also quite a clever element, I think, to the exhibition where you've got a video screen, a TV screen, with the kind of real-time, almost real-time kind of, you know, walk around as you describe it.
Yeah.
Now, I think that very cleverly gives you a kind of window on something that's very real.
Yeah.
When you're faced with, I suppose, some of the images instantly, you might think, oh, is that real? What is that? You know, and it helps link that and helps ground that.
Well, when I decided to do the walk, I was actually at Greenham and I just thought, I need to film this. It kind of grew quite intuitively. And then I felt that the walk kind of evolved as I was, in this very similar way to how I would make the painting. Mm. So there's kind of a lot of action-based mark making in my painting. It's very much about repetition, so it's very much like knitting and endurance and just keeping going.
I think there's also a tradition of artists walking as well, and you know, the kind of the artist's view as they're walking, what is it they're taking in, what is it they're, you know, interested in. And I think again that was, you know, the kind of careful positioning of the camera within that as well, is that, you know, it's attached to Sally. It is very much the her viewpoint of walking through that site now.
Now there's also, I want to ask you this just to finish, there's also an important woman who features in this exhibition, which is Margaret Thatcher, I think.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of, I would say, they're not really portraits, I guess they're profiles in some ways, and they capture very well the Margaret Thatcher quiff, I think.
Yeah,
or the, kind of very glamorised modern politician, if you like.
Well, that kind of grew out of... The 80s aren't complete without Margaret Thatcher. But it was... I did a protest, one of the protesters and their relationship with the fence and their hair becoming the fence. And I just kind of realised I had to do Margaret Thatcher's hair because her hair was so particular.
Yeah.
So it's almost like the lines in the fence and the lines in hair and the lines through knitting, the lines in landscape, weather maps, aircraft coming and going. This kind of was all meshing in my mind, as you know. But yeah, no, her little potent eyes staring down at it's
I think that's really interesting, actually, in the way in which Sally approached that. It's not a full portrait of Margaret Thatcher. It is just, you know, within a few painterly lines that it's very obvious, you know, who it is. And that's something that's amazing as an artist, to be able to do that within just a couple of lines.
I have got a bit of text on one painting, which is the title of the painting, but it's also written into it, and it's Every Woman and the Angel of Death, which I kind of was very inspired through some reading that I was doing. But I just feel all the Greenham women were known as Every Woman, but Margaret Thatcher isn't that. So in a sense, that's why she's the only one you could recognise there. because she's not an every woman, she's not anonymous, you know, and it relates to the Greenham women not having a hierarchy.
Excellent. So there's lots of things going on at the MAC, and the exhibition The Fence and the Shadow runs till Sunday 26th of November, so folks have got plenty of time to come and see it and view it, enjoy it several times. And I'm certainly coming back at least two or three times, because I think it's fascinating. What other things you are working on? What's next? What other things you sort of brewing up?
At the moment, I'm actually trying to finish some work that's looking at biomimicry in nature. That's my current thing. But I'm actually still using ideas about Greenham in that, because a lot of the symbols that the Greenham women developed were from nature. So it's kind of, it's process-led biomimicry. So that's kind of one thing I'm working on. And I'm still totally addicted to doing work about ex-Cold War sites and the nuclear issue. And even the set of paintings in there, I've got three paintings about the fence. That could easily be eight. It's a huge body of work I'm carrying on with, basically. So I imagine I'll be here for the next few years.
Excellent. That's great to hear. And in the meantime, Sally and Mandy, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There's more on Sally's work at www.sallypayen.info. That's P-A-Y-E-N. The exhibition, The Fence and the Shadow, runs until Sunday the 26th of November at Mac Birmingham's First Floor Gallery. For more information, go to macbirmingham.co.uk or call 0121 446 3232.